Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour. Thanks so much for joining me once again. I'd like to begin today with a preview of Pope Benedict XVI's apostolic journey to the Czech Republic, his 13th abroad, which begins in this nation's capital, Prague, on Saturday, 26th of September. And among those travelling with the Pope to this landlocked nation in the heart of Europe, at a crossroads between East and West, is Linda Bordoni. Before leaving, I asked her to join me in studio so she could give us a preview of this 3-day visit. So, Linda, you're heading for Prague.
That's
you're going
right.
for a very special reason. You're going with the Pope.
That's right.
On a reporting job for us.
My first reporting job with Pope Benedict XVI.
So it's the Czech Republic for you. Tell me, can I prompt something? Why is he going? It's something to do with St. Wenceslas?
Well, the visit, which is scheduled from the 26th till the 28th of September, was actually organised to coincide with the 28th, which is a very special day for the Czech people. It's the day of the feast of St. Wenceslas. And apparently all Czechs relate to St. Wenceslas.
Even when they're not Catholics?
Exactly. It's a moment of unification for the Czechs. It's a big feast. And the day, the 28th of September, is actually the day in which they also celebrate statehood. So in a way, the spiritual and the political come together on the 28th of September. And on that day, which is the Monday, the last day of the Pope's trip, he will in fact be travelling to a little town about 35 kilometres outside of Prague called Stara Boleslav. Took me a while to learn to say that. This town is actually the site of a church, of a shrine, where St. Wenceslas was martyred.
He was killed by his brother, wasn't he?
He was killed by his brother about 1,000 years ago. A violent death because his brother wanted to take power. He was king. He was the king of Bohemia, and he was then canonized. He is known as the good king, the just king. And still today, all Czechs have a particular feeling for good King Wenceslas, as we know him.
Yes, as we know him. We have a particular exactly. feeling for that Christmas carol,
right,
don't we?
Right.
So that's the last day of his trip, the 28th, on the Monday. But he actually arrives in Prague on the Saturday.
That's right.
He has a full day, doesn't he?
He has a very full day. First of all, as in every trip, the Pope is visiting the Czech Republic upon invitation of the president of the nation and, of course, upon invitation of the president of the Czech Bishops' Conference. Apparently, the day after Pope Benedict XVI was nominated Pope, Cardinal Wilk, who is the Archbishop of Prague, extended his invitation to the Pope. He wanted him to come to the Czech Republic, and they have been very insistent, and the Pope has, in fact, taken up this invitation and is travelling on the 26th, as you said. He'll be arriving at the airport where, as always, there'll be a full
pomp and circumstance.
Exactly.
Ceremony.
All the dignitaries will be there to greet him. An interesting note is that, in fact, not many people speak Czech around the world, so it has been chosen that the Pope give his discourses in English, whilst all the pastoral events will be in Italian. So he'll be meeting with the president, he'll be meeting with the bishops and the archbishop. And on the 26th, the first thing that he's going to do is travel to the centre of Prague and or pay homage, let's say, pay tribute to the Holy Infant of Prague, which is a little statuette in a church in the centre of Prague. It's called the Church of Our Lady of Victory and much venerated around the world. The Pope especially expressed his wish to go there. It wasn't originally in his schedule, but he especially said, that's where I want to go, first thing. So that's the first appointment, the first rendezvous with the Czech nation is, in fact, in the Church of Our Lady of Victory. He will donate a crown, a gold crown that has been specially made for this infant who has a huge wardrobe, by the way. He has over 70 garments, which were given him by princes, by nobility, nuns from all over the world, as far as the Philippines, Africans. Everybody has wanted to give the infant a garment, and the Pope will take him a gold crown, which he's had specially made for the occasion. During this event, he will meet with families and children.
Linda, I know you spoke to Father William Fay and Augustinian, based in Prague and chaplain to the English-speaking community there, precisely about this church. Why don't we listen for a moment?
After the Battle of White Mountain, in which Catholic armies and Protestant armies were poised against each other in November of 1620, this so-called Catholic Imperial Army won, and the church was taken away from the Lutherans, and it was given to the Carmelites, who renamed the church Our Lady of Victory after the 1620 defeat of the Protestant king. The image itself of the infant Jesus was donated to the church by a Spanish aristocratic lady. She married a Lobkowitz, Prince Lobkowitz, here in the Czech Republic. And as a part of her dowry, she brought with her an image, a waxen image, a small image. It's not very large. Reputedly, it was given to her by St. Teresa of Avila and has been a feature of local Catholic devotion for centuries.
Well, I hope you get to see the infant of Prague, Linda. But getting back to the Pope, after his visit to Our Lady of Victory, what next?
Afterwards, he will be having lunch,
right,
at the Nunciatura in Prague after his journey, of course. And then he's into quite a busy afternoon because he has a meeting with civil and political authorities in which he will be giving his first non-pastoral discourse. And later on, he will be celebrating the Vespers with priests and religious, the Cathedral of St. Vitus, which is right in the middle of Prague's castle.
It's up on a hill, no? I think I've been to Prague.
You've been to Prague, I haven't.
It's up on the hill, the castle. And when I went there, actually, there were a lot of pilgrims there. And I wondered why, not knowing that St. Wenceslas's skull is kept there.
That's right. It's actually translated on the 28th. That skull is taken to Stara Boleslav.
Not just because the Pope is there.
No, every year. Actually, the 28th is the day of pilgrimages to that site. But yes, that's how he concludes his first day there, with the Vesper ceremony in St. Vitus' Cathedral.
Why don't we do what we did earlier, Linda, and listen to Father Fay again, telling us about the cathedral this time.
Cathedral is a lovely piece of architecture. The original chapel was inaugurated by Saint Wenceslas. It would be about 1,088 years ago. Wenceslas built a chapel next to his dwelling, his residence, the Hradčany, which is a fortress. And when he himself was murdered around the year 929, his body then was transported from place of his murder, Stary Boleslav, to the fortress, and the chapel was then dedicated to Saint Wenceslas, the first of the patron saints of the Czech people. From this time on, various kings and rulers afterwards then began building around what was really the palladium of Czech Catholicism. The beautiful Gothic building that we now see was inaugurated by Emperor Charles IV in the mid-14th century. French architects were imported. Emperor Charles IV was educated in France, so he would have been familiar with Notre Dame and the famous French cathedrals and so on. So he wanted to imitate what he saw here, and it was only completed in 1921. 29. So each generation, in a way, you know, added something. It's a beautiful composition. The stained glass windows particularly are magnificent. They're priceless.
Well, Linda, I'm sure you'll enjoy the visit to this cathedral ahead of the Pope's visit for Vespers then on Saturday. Moving on to Sunday, the Pope leaves Prague, doesn't he, on that day?
He leaves Prague and he goes to Brno. Brno is in the other region of the Czech Republic. Whilst Prague is in Bohemia, Brno is in Moravia. And because of historical reasons, it is the most Catholic, shall we say, part of the Czech Republic, where not many people are practicing Catholics. It's also close to the border, and so many
with
people...
Poland and Slovakia.
Right.
Which are Catholic countries.
And many pilgrims are expected, or have booked, have arranged to travel to Brno to attend the Pope's Mass, which will take place in a plane near the airport in Brno on Sunday morning. He travels there by helicopter because it's about 200 kilometres away from Prague. And then he'll be back in Prague for lunch, getting ready for another busy afternoon, which includes an ecumenical encounter and an encounter with the academic world. Actually, this event with the academic world is one of the highlights because of whom he is. He is a theologian. He was a university professor, so he's right at home in a university speaking to academics. It's interesting to note that the University of Prague, Charles University, is the oldest university in Central Europe.
Of course, Czech Republic is right in the heart of Europe.
Absolutely, yes. It's not the first time he's been there to address the students and the academics. As Cardinal Ratzinger, he went to Charles University a few years ago.
It seems like they've loaded him with a busy schedule. Absolutely. I'm sure you'll have a lot to do when you get there. Hopefully you'll be able to see some of the sights as well.
I hope so. Apparently Friday is our sightseeing day, so I'll be getting to see the places.
And there's a river that flows through...
Yes, are you going to ask me how to pronounce it?
Well, I was wondering if you could do that. I think I read it was called the Moldau, which makes it easier than the Vltava, or however you pronounce it.
You're right. It's well, the Czechs say the Vltava. There's a famous piece of music by one of the best-known Czech composers, who's Miss Smetana. The music's actually called the Vltava. Just the last thing, I've already spoken about Monday, which is the last day of the trip, the day he goes to Stara Boleslav to celebrate St. Wenceslaus. It's the same day he'll be giving his message to young people, which is something he always does when he goes on an apostolic journey. And so a large contingent of young people will be there, especially to hear his words.
Well, thank you very much, Linda. Have a good journey.
Thank you,
have a nice
Veronica.
Flight there.
Thank you.
And now Linda's given us all this information regarding Pope Benedict's visit to the Czech Republic. It's time to turn to the Czech ambassador to the Holy See, Pavel Voslik, who was kind enough to put the Holy Father's visit to his nation into context for us, from his Czech perspective, of course.
First of all, I would really like to underline the fact that His Holiness is coming to the Czech Republic to visit not only the church. He is coming to visit the country. He is coming to visit my nation. But maybe we should as well see a fact that the significance of this visit is crossing the borders of my country. It's very important even for all Catholics in the region. I think that the visit of His Holiness to the Czech Republic will be highly attended by people coming from our neighbor states, particularly talking about the Slovak Republic, Poland, Hungary, Austria. The significance we could see from many, many points of view. We actually expect that not only Catholics, but the whole population will very carefully listen to the words of His Holiness. And I am pretty sure that lots of my compatriots will try to find a message addressing him, her, directly from the Holy Father. We shouldn't see him just as the priest of the Catholic Church, but as well as the huge moral authority in the world, who is coming to talk about morality, about principles which should be guiding the lives of all people, not just members of the Catholic Church. So I would see the significance of the visit in this level, that the moral authority is coming to talk to us. It's coming to offer another way of thinking, another way of living. He's bringing some message about the possibility to live a life which would be full of dignity, full of respect, full of love. And it's just up to us how far we are prepared to listen to him and how far we are prepared to accept his advice, his ideas. I believe that particularly in this time when the world is suffering from the economic crisis and when we simply have to be focused on totally different problems and aspects, to go back down and to think about the essential moral principles of our life, it's very important. And His Holiness, since the very first day of this year, when we would see and when we would read his speeches, we could see that his focus is quite clear. Focus on the poor people, on combating poverty, on the solidarity with poor and less lucky people. And I am pretty sure that this is very important to repeat these ideas and to think about them. And I would believe that this visit of His Holiness to the Czech Republic could be the good opportunity for all of us to stop a bit in the run around the world and maybe just to think about these very important topics. This is 20 years from the fall of Berlin Wall, but this is as well 20 years from, as we call it, the Velvet Revolution in Czechoslovakia at that time. And it's 20 years we started totally new chapter in our life, chapter free of communist oppression, chapter of dignity to human rights and respect to human beings. And I would like to underline very important thing what we know, but we should repeat it, that the role of the Church, and particularly the role of His Holiness John Paul II in these changes in Europe, and that means as well in my country, was enormous. I want to remind us that His Holiness John Paul II visited Czechoslovakia in 1990, and he came to this new democratic country with a message, with bringing hope that the development right now will bring the change, the very important positive change in our lives. To be honest, not everything what we were expecting 20 years ago really had happened. Lots of things developed in totally different directions, and maybe right now it's the moment not to criticize, not to blame us that we did something wrong, but to show that His Holiness is here again, still offering his help, offering his guiding hand, and bringing again the message that still it's the time to build the real positive world, positive society for all of us. We are constantly talking about 20 years of the fall of Berlin Wall, 20 years from the Velvet Revolution. But we should see and we should mention as well another very important topic which was directly linked to the Church and its role in our society. We are celebrating the fall of communism in my country on the 17th of November. But 1 week earlier, on the 12th of November, happened something very significant, and it was a huge ceremony here in the Vatican City, where the Pope John Paul II was canonizing the Agnes of Bohemia. I believe that the visit of His Holiness is particularly in the year when we are commemorating the 20th anniversary of this very important event, is very symbolical. It's really bringing a new hope, new message. And that is exactly is why I've mentioned that the significance of the visit is crossing borders of the Czech Republic, because these changes 20 years ago were really the beginning of a new life for lots of our neighbors, and it was the opening of the totally new chapter of the history of the whole Central European region. Visits of His Holiness John Paul II to Czechoslovakia and to the Czech Republic was in the first years after the revolution, when the society was extremely sensitive and very open for any dialogues. It was in the era when even the personal relationship between the Pope and the former president of my country, Václav Havel, were very close, and they were very, very similar, like-minded persons, I would say. Now we are preparing a visit of His Holiness Benedict XVI. His host on the Czech side is going to be President Václav Klaus. So could we can say this is totally new situation. We all are very much excited from that and very much looking forward. The last visit of my president, actually his first visit to the Holy Father, showed that there are lots of similarities, and that my president is sharing lots of points of view of His Holiness on the development of the current world. So I am pretty sure that this visit is going to be slightly different. But in terms of maybe focus, it could be done as well, because the atmosphere in the society is, of course, 20 years after the revolution different. The situation is different simply because the new generation of my citizens grow up. I have my daughter, she's 18, so she is preparing as well for the visit of His Holiness. But of course, from the perspective of a person who grew up in the democratic country, who doesn't care the heritage of communism with her. So, of course, at that moment, the topics are going to be much more focused not onto the history, but onto the future. What we can do to build a better life? What could we do to share and to cooperate in this, to succeed this goal? So I am pretty sure that this visit could be a really very important and very significant, because this is the visit which is going to be much more focused on the future and not so much rooted into the history. All the visits of His Holiness John Paul II were very much positively affected by his role in destroying communism. In case of Benedict of 16th, we are going to talk about future. And this is very important, I would say. His Holiness is very much focused on the role of education, so in development. His Holiness is very much focused on the role of the young generation. And I would say the same is actually a very similar point of view of my president for this moment. From this point of view, I am expecting really very, very positive response coming from the young generation of Czechs, not only Czechs, Slovaks, Poland, Polish, Hungarians, simply that this visit is preparing to be ready to address the new generation of Central Europeans. Suddenly, this visit will talk not about the role of the Eastern Bloc in Europe. This visit is a visit to the EU member state. So suddenly, we will not so much talk how to help the former post-communist countries to join the developed Europe. But today we will talk much more about the role of these post-communist countries in the European Union, in the new Europe. What we are bringing to this community, how we are ready to share our historical experience with other European countries to avoid the similar problems in the future. And we are talking about the role of a young generation and its role and responsibility in the development of our continent. And that's why I think that this is what we expect as the very important element which should affect the life in my country. His Holiness is coming to see totally different generation of my compatriots than his predecessor John Paul II was meeting.
And my thanks there go to the Czech ambassador to the Holy See, Pavel Voshelik. Meanwhile, I'd like to join someone who works at the press office of the Czech Bishops' Conference in Prague. His name is Jiří Gračka. And he tells us a little bit about the spiritual preparation which led up to this visit of the popes.
The spiritual preparations are running among the faithful from May. Two booklets released in the meantime. In May, it was a booklet about preparations in general, with several prayers, with meditations on the themes of the visit, which are the virtues faith, hope, and charity. And in September, Novena has started. Since the September the 8th to September 16th, the faithful prayed every day several prayers for the Pope and for the success of his visit. There are also several other activities connected. I would like to mention activity of the Brno Diocese, SMS from Pope. Every day from the beginning of September until the Pope's arrival, anyone interested can get an SMS with some quote by the Pope Benedict.
And a big thank you there to Jiří Gračka, currently working at the press office of the Czech Bishops' Conference in Prague. And that brings me up to time. I do hope you enjoyed this broadcast focusing on Pope Benedict's apostolic visit to the Czech Republic, which takes him, as we mentioned, to both Bohemia and Moravia on his 13th apostolic journey abroad, and indeed the fourth of a Roman pontiff to the Czech Republic, the first three being those of Pope John Paul II. So as the Pope is about to touch down on Czech soil for this journey, which has as theme Love of Christ is our strength, let's look back for a moment at the Holy Father's words to Ambassador Pavel Voshelik, when the ambassador, whom we heard earlier on, presented his credentials to the Vatican last year. Words of praise for the Czech people's strong sense of solidarity, which enabled them to overthrow totalitarianism and build a democratic nation, but also one of hope. On this occasion, Pope Benedict XVI, in fact, highlighted how true progress can only come about with the values and hope that the Church offers every generation, a message he may just repeat to the Czech people this weekend. I do hope you enjoyed this broadcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scarsbrick. And don't forget, you can check out our website at www.vaticanradio.org. Bye for now. Laudetur Jesus Christus.